comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
Alright, alright. It's a podcast. It's Ben.
And it's Lucas.
And that's a podcast. Welcome, Gunnar Army.
I've been trying to get Ben to just hang out with me as a friend for months now, and he just always tricks me into making this stupid podcast.
If we don't podcast, then our friendship is worthless.
I mean, that's true of any friendship these days. If you're not finding a way to monetize your closest friendships, are they relationships that really matter?
Oh, I missed you. No, I mean, we haven't talked since the last podcast. And I do love you.
Yeah, love you, miss you, and, you know, think of you a lot when I'm, you know, in a new place. I was in a lot of new parts of Los Angeles last week, which was a lot of fun. I was mostly in an automobile, but I was thinking of you because I know you lived in LA for a time.
I do like that. I think before the podcast, we didn't talk for, let's just say, like 2-3 months at a time, right?
Yeah, I think that was probably regular cadence.
We talk every week.
Yeah, so if you know, the cure to male loneliness, ? is making light of roadway deaths?
It's something like that.
We make heavy as well.
You know what makes heavy is driving your car to work.
That makes heavy in more ways than one.
It'll make you heavy, yeah.
And it'll make the pollutant levels in your air heavy in your city.
Yeah, it's like there's enough microplastics in my penis, man. You know, cut that shit out. Oh, God. It was a day, man. It was a day. Do you know how many people I served brunch to today?
Did you serve brunch, like, you specifically or, like, your whole team?
I food ran.
You food ran. Oh, wow. So how many food runners were there?
There were, like, 2.5.
And how many tables are there?
Like, 100?
Ooh, that's pretty big. So you probably
It's not the worst. Like, only 50 are occupied.
You ran, I don't know, less than 1,000 plates?
Yeah, something like that. Something like 1,000.
That's a lot more than I did.
Maybe more. Just because it's like, let's just say we did... yeah, with all the people who just get coffee and just get booze, I think if we grow... Let me think about this for a second. If we gross, like, $1,500 in food on a $3,000 day, let's just say it's half of all of our revenue. A plate is $20.
I don't know if the listener will be able to hear the typing that I did there.
It was a fucking ton of food, and one of my coworkers just wasn't pulling his weight. There was one point at which there's like 40 minutes of tickets in the rail, and we're out of silverware, and the dishwasher has given us the wet silverware, and we've got to like polish it and roll it
and get it out there. Yeah,
serve more food.
I have been there.
So it's like there's no silverware though, and there's like hot food that needs to be run right now. So what needs to be done is, like, someone needs to be taking silverware and, like, polishing it if necessary, and then, like, rolling silverware and handing it to the food runner. But instead, my coworker is, like, standing there with the silverware, and he's like, he's like, this smells like wet dog. And I'm like, fuck. And he's like, this smells like wet dog. And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. I need silverware.
How How badly did it smell like wet dog? Because I mean, was this a health concern?
I didn't smell any wet dog.
Is your coworker like an undercover OSHA plant?
He's a weird guy. He's a weird guy who sells weed on the internet. And he's like preventing me from running the food. And I'm tired and I'm upset and I'm stressed out. And this fucking idiot is sorting the silverware. And I cannot run like hot food to the customer.
Yep. Yikes. Yeah, the circuit was broken. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, I'm stressed out just thinking about it.
Yeah. No, that's pretty stressful. I was definitely the coworker when I worked as a server. I was definitely the coworker that would always be, I worked at sort of a higher end pizza restaurant, and you know, you're always, you know, folding new pizza boxes, even if you're just in the back shooting the shit. Like, you can take a little breaky break. Like, we're not trying to like run everyone ragged, but when there is something that needs to be done, just do it, because it's going to be so much better for all of us. It's very frustrating when someone at the job does not carry their weight, but you want to have solidarity with them, right? As your fellow comrade and laborer, but it's so hard sometimes.
We did, it was like a $10,000 brunch with something like eight people between all the positions.
Excellent work, yeah. And you guys serve like what, full menu of like breakfast items and brunch items?
Yeah, but we're not like waiting at your table. There's no cocktail servers or... We're not, you know.
Excuse me, waiter. What kind of vermouth do you have?
If you're going to suck the dick, you might as well cup the balls. You know what I mean? I'm
trying. So go ahead and get the large orange juice.
That's my service mantra. No, I mean, suck every customer off is like a pretty good way to approach being a waiter.
Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make money.
Because you don't work for the restaurant. The restaurant is paying you like $1 an hour. You work for the insufferable people for whom you serve. Mm-hmm. There's a better way to say that.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that, yeah, I mean, by and large, at least in my experience, would really pay my way. Like, I would get checks from the restaurant that I worked at, and when I exceeded what they legally had to pay me in just my tips, I would get checks for $0. The restaurant would pay me $0.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they got to withhold the taxes, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So they're not paying zero. They're paying you $2.
Yep.
But they're withholding tax. They're withholding cash on your tipped income.
Yeah, how nice of them.
Well, I mean, it's just what the IRS does. I love the government.
Yeah, obviously we're very pro government over here. The Gooner Army is standing by for support.
I told my girlfriend what gooning is. And she's so disappointed. I'm like, yeah, babe, our mascot is Alex Jones, the guy who said that Sandy Hook didn't happen. And he's trying to get the Gooner Army to take back the streets.
In the dead of the night. And she said, what?
And then she started reading from the Wikipedia page about Gooners. And like, she started reading like articles about Gooners like out loud to me in bed, and they're fucked up. Let's just say they're pretty fucked up.
I knew this was gonna hurt you.
This is a whole subculture I didn't know about.
Yes, I tried to. Yeah, I mean, I feel like at every stage I've tried to warn you. We could do a supercut of me like light objecting to the Gooner joke until I finally caved in, and now it's just a bit, right?
The Gooners will be free.
Let me be clear.
The government will not stop us. Okay?
Okay, is that okay? No worries if not.
She doesn't even really know who Alex Jones is, which I find impossible, but I guess it's just because I've lived in Austin my whole life.
I don't know. I feel like there's been enough reporting on programs like, I don't know, Last Week Tonight and, I don't know, Saturday Night Live that, like, I don't know. I feel like Alex Jones is pretty up there in terms of cultural currency.
Oh, she said the phrase alt-goon movement.
That must have been painful for you to hear.
we're the alt-goon movement.
Is that true?
I love that.
I feel like we might be alt-alt-goon.
I mean, that adds up. I dig alt-goon movement. Like, yeah, that's us. We're not all right. We're not right wing. We're left wing. There's dirtbag left. I think as a descriptor, I would be happy to be described as like the dirtbag left.
I'm with that.
Alt-goon movement is also acceptable.
Okay.
Boomer gooner.
Goomer okay, so, sooner. Do
you have any good transportation content? I have a couple things on my list.
I really don't. I have some lived experience reflections and things like that, but I don't have any good news or really like hot takes. I've been thinking about drivers more. I don't know. We can get into it. You lead the way.
I definitely, okay, one thing is that I almost got hit by a Toyota 4Runner.
Oh no, those are pretty big.
And the other thing is that Colorado injury data is now on the website. So we have death and we have fatality data for everywhere in America. But now we have our first state with injury data too. If you go to roadway.report/Colorado, you can see serious injuries from about 2007 and 2024. There's like 16 years of serious injuries if you go to roadway.report/Colorado. There's also the deaths on that version of the map. And you'll see if you go to, like, for instance, downtown Denver, you'll see the difference if you were to compare the main death map and the augmented injury map. There's much more data, and it's much easier to see that certain areas and certain intersections are like problem
or dangerous places. but not problems to the point of dismemberment, maybe shy of death. But
I think of it this way. It's like of 100 injuries that have the capacity to cause a death, only 10% will. So the preponderance, I guess, like the prevalence of dangerous crashes, it isn't necessarily visible when you plot a random 10% of it.
Dying is obviously worse than getting injured, but the randomness at play in whether you die or not means that the injury data carries a lot of important statistical relevance.
Yeah. It makes the patterns on the map so much easier to see. So I definitely recommend going to roadway.report/Colorado. And within the week, today is November 2nd, but hopefully by November 6th, we'll have Texas up at roadway.report/Texas, which currently has a map of all pedestrians hit by a car, but we're going to replace that with the new injury map.
Excellent. Exciting things going on under the hood of Roadway Report. You've been a busy bee.
Yeah, I've even got a little bit of contract work coming in from some kind of math person.
Excellent. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, but he needs help with like HTML stuff, which is hopefully I'll be able to help him. I'm something of an idiot.
Excellent. How did you get in contact with him?
Shit posting on LinkedIn.
You're linked out,
no,
bro.
I'm horrible on LinkedIn. Bro, if you're not linking in, you're missing out.
Have they used that? They need to pay you for that.
Yeah. Gooners never come. Edgers edge to come. Gooners never come. And that's a guarantee. I'm Ben Carnero, and this is Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only podcast about traffic deaths. No one else podcasts about this.
It's
not
true.
The NHTSA, not the National Safety Council, not Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Does Mothers Against Drunk Driving have a podcast? I don't think so.
There are a few people in some of my prospecting for this venture that they have podcasts on their websites. We should listen to them and do some like cross pollination.
We should.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in talks with a group here in Colorado. That's, I think, one reason why Ben is focused on some of these particular additions to the website. And we're really excited. We have some pretty cool products that we're going to kind of be finishing up. And if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I wish that I had a better like way to see where the dangerous spots are on the roadways in your community, reach out to us. We're sort of at a place where we're trying to make the world better with this tool, and we're trying to get it into the hands of as many people as possible. But if like you're ready to use this data to make your neighborhood safer, to lobby your government, to do guerrilla urbanism, to go put, you know, shit out in the road, like, it doesn't matter what your tactics are, we're happy to help. So send us a message, drop us a line, and we will make you a map.
Are you ready to goon?
On another note,
are you ready
to take back the streets from the fascist pig government? Get in touch with us, Roadway Report.
Basically, yeah, if you want to stick it to the man in a way that is a piece of direct action to look at one of the violent systems that our society is based upon, to try to resist our overwhelming slide into a world like dominated by violence and coercion, then I think like showing the death map to your elected officials is a good place to start. If you want like a baby step, do that.
I think we should all vote for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
Bro, I miss Hillary Clinton.
She's still around. She's still at the country club. Have you not seen her? You're not a member of the club anymore, are you?
I'm a member of the club. The Hillary Clinton fan club. She's smoking hot.
Frantically Googling Hillary Clinton shoulder pads. Hillary Clinton shoulder pads wet.
She does love shoulder pads, and I am wet.
Hillary Clinton Louboutin. Hillary Clinton red bottoms.
She's the Kanye West of politics.
Saying Hillary Clinton and then like a non sequitur in sort of like a conspiratorial tone. You know, like Hillary Clinton, Dracula backstage, 1997. Like that, I feel like it's a barrier to entry that we've now, or it's a rite of passage that we're executing on here, in our podcasting careers.
The thing about Benghazi is they wanted it to happen. They wanted 9/11 to happen too, and traffic deaths, they want to happen more than anything else. Because there's more traffic deaths than a million 9/11s and a million Benghazis. sorry. But then 1,000 9/11s and a million Benghazis. They're coming for you, and they're coming for your communities. They're coming for your children. They're coming for your families. They're coming for you, man. That's the government. That's what they do.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Hillary Clinton, plant Benghazi. She wants to Benghazi you right now. Sultry and irresistible. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton shoulder pads wet. Hillary Clinton red bottoms. So you almost got hit by a Toyota 4Runner?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so sorry to hear that. It's
okay,
never fun.
This intersection is dog shit. The intersection pisses me off. I want to put a rock in it. I want you to go to 31st and Speedway in Austin, Texas.
Let me get my
Oh, actually, it's. Oh, wait a minute. Here, it may pull up a little nicer if you go to the intersection of 31st and University.
Okay, I got it. I'm looking at it. Big kind of looping curve around the intersection
here.
Yeah,
yes. So I'm southbound. So I'm taking the wide part of the curve to the left. Does that make sense?
Yes, I follow.
So I'm southbound, and somebody is coming up behind me, and they're proceeding straight at the fork.
And you're going to the left.
Right. They're going right, and I'm going left. But I have the right of way. And so I like, before I go left, I check my shoulder, and a 4Runner flies by me at like 30 miles an hour. Going straight. It was terrifying.
Yep.
But it just makes you think, right? Like, the Waymo doesn't do that. That person chose to do that. Just totally unhinged.
Yeah. Yep. The more time I spend around the Waymos, the more positive I feel towards them. There were a lot in Los Angeles.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy that, like, they don't have human emotion, and that is so important. Like, people will just threaten you with their car. Like,
yeah, they have
the
no lust for blood. And lust for blood, unfortunately, is like part of the human condition.
And it's like people will essentially just dare you to die. And the Waymo will like try to not kill you. It will try to not kill you no matter what. Right? Like, it assigns no fault or like moral order.
It doesn't care. You could be
to not try to kill you.
You could be the Waymo's
ex-wife. And that is how everybody should drive, but they don't. Right?
Everybody drives like they're trying to kill their ex. Like every other driver is their ex-wife.
People don't. People have proven that they cannot be trusted with the power of the automobile.
The sweet, sultry power.
This is this is evidenced by the behavior of everyday people all the time.
Yeah, because the automobile is something that has the power to unleash incredible suffering and pain and destruction in the world. And the human being behind it will always occasionally have a lust for blood. And we're way more fallible than the robot. Robot don't fall in love or like see a cute dog and be looking out the window and then not see what's in front of it.
No, Waymo just just reads its little sensors, goes about its business.
I did see one Waymo. I did see one Waymo in traffic in LA, and there was someone sitting in the driver's seat, and he was like performing driving, and he was like kind of like looking for attention from people in other cars around him.
That's funny.
Yeah, like
you're allowed
we could
to get in that seat.
What'd you say?
Are you allowed to get in the driver's seat of the Waymo?
This guy was in the driver's seat.
Does the Waymo stop you from doing that? I've never taken a Waymo.
I assume you could sit in the driver's seat.
We need to plan a trip. I need to fly to Denver.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're not here yet. I think they're here in December.
Oh, wow. Y'all are getting Waymos.
Yeah, we are getting Waymos very soon.
Austin was the second Waymo city.
Yeah, I mean, there were a ton in LA. There were more in LA than I saw when I was in Austin, but that was a year ago that I was in Austin.
I feel like people in LA would figure out pretty quickly that you can bully the Waymo.
Yes, definitely saw that. everyone that I was with, like all my friends that saw them, said that that's the main thing that they like to do. And
yeah, that's the thing. You can't bully other people.
Yeah, no. We're at least, you know. Nancy Pelosi won't let you.
Yeah, I definitely bullied a Waymo on the way home from work today. It's like there's a protected bike lane, but there's also like one lane of traffic such that if you just get in front of the Waymo, then it's like, oh, whole street is Benny's. so I pulled in front of the Waymo, and there's no one behind it, but it was nice.
Yeah.
I signaled, and it didn't yield. I was like, I'm turning, I'm coming over there, and it didn't yield, like, twice. Because you'd think, like, oh, maybe it could understand that a bike is trying to signal with its hands, because a human can.
In theory,
it didn't
that
understand.
Data...
It didn't understand.
Hopefully they're being trained on, you know, hopefully more Waymo in the future will be trained on the data that this Waymo collected from you signaling.
You can speak to it. I don't know if it listens.
Waymo, can you massage my gay son's feet?
Waymo, my gay son is so thirsty.
He would like an ice cream cone. Waymo.
Waiter, my gay son is running low on sweet vermouth. He's so thirsty. Will you help him?
Take us to the nearest liquor store, Waymo.
Do you have buttermilk biscuits? What about a little bit of jam?
We should start a company that's competitive with Waymo, but in the like glove box and in the console are like different baked goods that are sitting there warmed.
Yeah, it's all about the customer experience. Waymo, with self-driving cars, the self-driving is worse, but the food and the Wi-Fi is better.
Yeah, the self-driving is honestly bad.
It's just an Egyptian guy.
Yeah, but he's really small, and so you can't see him up there.
We've shrunk him down using the technology from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rick Moranis. Yes.
It is Rick Moranis. He is playing an Egyptian guy. He's not in blackface. I want to be clear.
It's Rick Moranis in blackface. I am the captain now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. There's an Africa-themed resort here in Austin called the Kalahari Resort. It's kind of near the movie theater off 79, Lucas.
Yeah, I know about where that is.
Yeah. Near the ACC and the Texas State campus and the IKEA.
Do they... So, it, like, is it's like a safari resort, or...?
Well, it's an Africa-themed resort.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I haven't been.
Do they have, like, are there, like, African animals and...
Apparently, or is it really... there's, like, a giraffe and a zebra.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Round Rock, so there, like, statistically cannot be any black people.
Round Rock? I would say Round Rock is probably...
I have to Google that. Because
less than
I think
10% black,
that
certainly.
Joke might be more true than people think.
I would say, yeah, that would be my... I'm going to go 8. I'm going to go 8.5.
If I had to ballpark it, I would say like 6%.
9.6.
Oh, wow. You know, it's actually higher than Austin.
Wow. And now it's higher than Austin.
And it is 9.6% as of 2020. Now, when I was a kid, it was lower. It was 7.5. Austin's down to like 3%.
That's wild. For a city in the South to have that few black people in it is really crazy.
Well, in some sense, it's because the city sort of just annexed a bunch of white neighborhoods
yes.
over time.
Yeah.
So some neighborhoods it held more constant. But overall, as a percentage of the population as a whole, I think it's gone down.
Wow.
But after the Civil War, Austin was something in the neighborhood, I think, of 36% black.
Yeah. I've been working in the city of Inglewood, California, and it is a center for black excellence. And I went in, like, just about every business I went into, I was the only white person. And there was so much, like, there were so many robust businesses, and, like, they were all full of people, and it was a really vibrant community. It was really cool to see. What percentage, can you look that up for me? What percentage black is Inglewood? I'm going to say it's at least 60%. Or is it less? Is it maybe more? You're the numbers guy, and my computer don't work so good.
I'm Googling.
Google, Google, Google. Listener, my microphone will often give out if I, like, the recording of it will often give out if I'm trying to do
30,
things on my computer.
There's
38%. 38%. And then what percent white? Because I'm sure it's very high percentage Hispanic as well.
4%
white. 4%
white.
Yep. I always...
51, whopping yeah. 51% Latino.
There you go. Yep. Yeah.
Bro, I think after this year, I'm going to be living in Brownsville, which is like...
Ooh.
Do you want to know the percentage of Latinos in Brownsville? Let me read this to you.
Well, it's not called Whitesville.
I am literally going to become Mexican. 93.88%.
Wow.
And then under 5% white.
You're going to be the only Portuguese guy.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a great, great culture down there. I've never really been.
No, I mean, it's there. Okay, you'd be surprised how white it feels. Like, everybody in Brownsville is bilingual, essentially, right?
Claro que sí.
But they're speaking English, right? Pretty common. It's pretty common to speak English as, like, a first language. Despite the town being 95% Latino, right? And being on the Mexican border. It feels more like America than Mexico.
Well, it's basically, it's essentially suburban to Monterrey.
In a sense.
Like, Monterrey is the big city.
It's pretty far from Monterrey. It's like 2 hours.
If you were referring to the city, that would be the city to refer to.
Matamoros is pretty big. And the valley as a group of...
Oh, the valley, yeah, is massive.
Pretty big, too. The valley is like 1 million people, so smaller than even Austin, which is like the fourth largest metro in Texas. The valley might be the fifth largest metro.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's that'd be exciting. That'd be a fun place to be.
Monterrey.
Monterrey. I do really want to go to Monterrey. But yeah, that would be cool. I could fly down to Brownsville and we could drive to Monterrey.
The Gooner Army is going to Mexico.
No, the Gooners will goon. The Edgers will edge. The Comers will come and the Gooners will goon. And we will all be free hand in hand. In the streets in the dead of night. What I mean is the youth of America will come together and take back the streets. Am I right or am I right?
You're right. I mean, history says you're right. And if we have any faith in this country being what it says that it's about, then you're absolutely right.
What are we going to do, man? I mean, I go outside. And it's terrifying. I'm almost hit by a car every day, everywhere I go. And it's upsetting. It's deeply upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And it's like, yeah, you can move to the rich part of town or you can plan your whole life around like your commute and making sure that it's somewhat comfortable and all of that. But, you know, you can only have so much impact on your own life, and then there's everybody else's lives to consider, right? Like, I don't know. I've been kind of on a little bit of a swing recently where it's like less than half of the world's inhabitants have like consistently running electricity. And like, I don't know. It's like, it's sort of crazy that we have the amount of wealth and plenty and splendor that we have, and the fact that we do have things like Teslas and Range Rovers and Maseratis. Like, it's incredible. Like, the amount of human ingenuity and manipulation of resources into tools at our disposal, like, it's just shocking. And then the fact that we like have this amazing ability to create a world that is just like unrecognizable to someone from 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and that we like just accept that hundreds and hundreds of people die, and it's because it's intersectional with the fact that like in order for this world, this like utopia to exist, it has to be at the expense of someone else, and those are the people that the Gooner Army represent. Those are the people that we're gonna take back the streets and give them back to those people.
I just want to sit down in the boulevard. And have a little cappuccino.
Exactly.
And read a book, you know, in the breeze. Have a Negroni. Like, come on, man. I just want to vibe the fuck out in public space, but it smells like fucking exhaust, and it's loud.
I can't
and
hear you. Yeah. Yep.
And there's fucking crackheads everywhere, and there aren't any other normal people. I hate this shit. I fucking hate this shit. Give me a bench. I just want to bike to the fucking grocery store without a fucking nightmare of a person driving up in a Chevy Tahoe, like passing me like with 1 foot of space when there's like 30 feet of road to go into. You know, I don't want some idiot. I don't want some idiot taking my life because I've got to share the road with your average American.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous that nobody does it.
Well, exactly. And it's, you know, it is like you don't want to. I mean, you would commute in a situation where every average American was on a level playing field with you, like mass wise, right? Like, we are always going to have difficulties with our neighbors. That is part of living in a city. Like, it's hard to all live on top of each other. And you can really want to kill your neighbor sometimes, right? Like, it's just like human nature. And if you have an automobile in your hands, your likelihood of actually doing that is so much greater. And if you were outside the automobile, like, we would be able to work out our differences. But instead we've built these like quasi private, pieces of our homes. I feel like that's how people talk about their cars. They're quasi-private vehicles that separate you from your neighbors. They allow you to carry your domain with you, this domain that you've dominated and that you own, right? Like, there's this ownership mentality in our culture that is, you know, a remaining element of our actual slave-owning society in the South, that was foundational to the development of the United States. And like, it's that same violence that you carry around in your car, and whether you do that with love or with a lot of caution or not, it's still something that we have to divest from as a society.
I do agree that if you drive to work, you hate black people.
Yeah, soon they're gonna start linking the Waymos together. They're gonna like slowly convince people to take the bus. This is the only future that I can actually dream of. I mean, I dream of a lot of futures where everybody decides to stop driving all at once, and that's just never going to happen, and it isn't practical because not everyone would be able to get to work and get where they need to go. Like, it would take a lot of time for that to happen. It's just not happening. So, I dream of a world where we, like, sort of wake up and realize that, like, the worst possible way to get around, to have everybody get around the city, is for them to drive their own vehicle. And that will slowly cause more people to want to invest in and use public transportation and walk and bike and create a world that is safer. I think that, like, by taking the step from ape plus tank to just robot tank, maybe we'll get closer to like some real solutions, because hey, if I have to like just get in something that takes me there anyway, why not do it in the safest way?
It is better, like, it's better for everybody, yes, even from the pedestrian perspective.
Oh, indeed.
But if robot plus tank increases the number of total tanks, I don't know if we're heading in the right direction.
I agree. But I'm hoping that through the introduction of robot tank, we will learn that tank is problem too, right? Like, once we remove ape...
The whole point is that that's how they get us, is like by feeding us some bullshit and letting us have more tanks. They say, look, we're fixing tank. Please, we're fixing tank, not problem, and then more tank and more tank death. So that's, I'm tentative, right?
Yeah, because me too.
The prior safety improvements in vehicle technology were real. Seatbelts are real. airbags are real. Bike helmets aren't real. But the whole point is that if we make tank safer, then we have no reason to stop making tank. And tank kill big. So what do, Lucas?
But in world where tank given because powers that be in place can't topple entire system all at once. We have to grapple with robot tank hope.
No hope. Robot tank, just tank.
But
can't kill.
But thing, not just thing in form. Thing also affect other thing in idea.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And if you have a PhD in urban planning, fuck you. Okay, we're doing our best.
Whoever has the PhD that designed the bike lane that cuts across 31st or wherever you almost got hit by the car, they deserve to be held accountable.
You have a tiny little dick, and I'm banging your mom. Okay, that's all I have to say. This is a body shaming podcast. Okay. We're pro cyberbullying and we're pro body shaming. All right. Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks. That's a really good way to end a conversation with someone who's upset.
We're going to cyberbully the body shamers. First, we're going to body shame the body shamers, and then we're going to cyberbully the body shamers. Mm-hmm.
And we'll body shame the cyberbullies through cyberbullying. Thanks, but no thanks.
The government wants you to think it's a crime to cyberbully your enemies. Well, it's not, okay? It's your only recourse.
Cyberbullying has really displaced, if we center digital ethnography beyond someone's actual ethnography, which like increasingly becomes a like primary way that we interact with most people that we interact with, because we interact with most people that we interact with through the internet, where all we know about them is a piece of their digital ethnography, which is that they're on Reddit or they're on YouTube or they're on roadway.report. And I just think that it is becoming like more important ways that we define ourselves and build our identities is through our digital ethnographies than our physical ethnographies. Like, yes, I live in Chicago, but I'm a cyclist. I identify as a cyclist from Chicago. And I think the internet has helped us do that. I think it's made us more apt to build our identities based on our interests rather than our like inextricable realities. What do you got for that, Alex Jones?
Alex, my voice kind of hurts. I don't want to yell.
You're gonna wake up in the morning, and you're gonna work out harder because Alex needs to be ready at a moment's notice.
I didn't bike a lot this week, but it's my weekly total is still over 100 miles.
Excellent.
And that was like a light week.
I've been traveling so much. I was in the DFW airport complex for like 2.5 days, which was absolute torture. It was nice. The work stuff was fun, but like the being there was bad. And then I was in Oklahoma, I was in LA, and I've just been like working. So I was able to go for a bike ride today. I went for probably 5 miles, just a light jaunt. It was like 80 degrees here today.
It was nice here today. It was the high of 70.
Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful day in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. I mean, it was beautiful here too. It was just a little eerie because like most of the trees have lost their leaves and it was 80 degrees. It was odd.
Yeah, that is eerie. That's very climate changey.
Yeah. But I dropped my library books off. I went and got an orange juice at the market and I sat outside. Oh, some guy did walk up behind me and his dog sort of like walked around and I pet his dog and he said, oh, sorry. And then he said, I just had to make sure you looked as good from the front as you do from the back.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I got like mega hit on at the market. So it's good to be back in Denver.
Hey, could you just drop that ass to the floor for me for a moment?
Excuse me, is that pussy juicy?
Hey, could you, waiter, could you throw that ass in a circle?
Could you make my head spin round?
I had a guest say to me, could I get a piece of that delicious-looking cake? And she was referring to a real cake. And I was all in my head. I was just thinking, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Yeah, say it. I'll chop
Could
you
I
up.
Could I get a piece of that delicious looking cake?
Oh, I'll cut you a big slice of this cake.
No, this buzzy delicate.
You can't afford this cake.
Waiter, is your buzzy delicate? Or is it dry?
Please be honest. I don't like being lied to.
Waiter, your buzzy. Would you like it well done? Or would you like it raw?
Excuse me, do you have a gay kids menu?
I have a gay son.
And how he loves chicken tenders.
I thought the gay son was an adult. Like an adult who likes brunch.
I think that it's fluid. I think the bit allows space. I think it's a foundational bit in the universe, and it can be anything.
Waiter, this gumbo is exquisite.
Excuse me, waiter, do you have a gay kids menu? My gay son is here, and he's 38, but I want him to order from the gay kids menu.
Whenever he gets a cheeseburger, it's too much. So we look for something like a grilled cheese. Or a chicken tender.
Don't we, Thomas?
Oh, my God. I really hate the customer. Just so you know. Like, the guest, I can't stand the guest.
What about the patron?
This is going to sound like I'm a terrible worker telling this story, but today I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. There's no silverware. My coworkers just standing in the way. It's a $10,000 brunch. You know, I'm running all over. And then someone like sits down at a dirty table and they're like, "Can you wipe this table down for me?" And it's like, I got stuff to do. They're fucking sitting at it. So if I spray it with the sanitizer, they're gonna get sprayed with sanitizer. So I just go, "Look out!" And then I spray the fucking table. And I fucking wipe it down. And I must look furious.
It sounds like, your duties are stacking up. And they're becoming a lot to manage all at once. But hey, there's an end in sight.
People were asking me for stuff, and I was just too stressed out to, like... Usually, if I'm running food and someone's like, "Hey, can I get some ketchup?" I'll be like, "Yeah, I'll be right back." You know, because, like, that's... If you're good at the job, that's what you do.
Right.
But today, I was just so behind, right?
You had like nine other things that needed to complete.
Like, yep. Someone's like, "Can I get a little more sugar in my coffee?" And I'm like, "They'll be happy to help you at the counter."
Where the sugar is.
You don't go to a fucking McDonald's and complain that the guy doesn't suck your dick at the fucking table.
I mean, like, I do go to McDonald's and complain about that.
But it's like, it's a counter service restaurant. You know, it's like, if you need something, there's fucking four people standing there who are happy to help you.
Well, yeah, and it's tough when your title is food runner, but you're expected to sort of manage these customer service pieces, which, like, in a like fine dining context, like, the food runner would not be responsible for that. Like, that would be a waiter's job. But since there's no waiter here, like, is the bussy juicy? Yeah. I don't know. And neither does the food runner.
If you're gonna suck the dick, you might as well cup the balls. However, I was really stressed out today.
Well, and you're trying to get a whole bunch off at once. You're forced to sit in the middle while everybody waits.
An edger edges to come. A gooner never comes. A gooner never comes.
The government wants you to come. The government wants you to zone out. Watching pornography. Not pay attention to their corruption. To their affairs. To their sleazebag, dirtbag nonsense. But we, the gooners, we see. We see right through their Rat King nonsense, through their malarkey, through their baloney, through their lies, through their corruption. We see who they are. We see the rat people for who they are. The government won't stop us. The streets are ours. There's too many of us. They won't stop us. A swarm of rats will take back the streets. The Gooner Rat Army.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
I thought that that was like genius. Genius was visiting there for a moment.
We lost it, though. We lost it.
It visits and then it goes away, listener.
I didn't smoke enough weed.
Yeah, that's true. That's usually a surefire way to ensure that you get some genius visiting.
No, but I think the bit needs a little. It needs something new. The bit needs and I just want to zhuzh it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I need to maybe watch some more Alex Jones, and like maybe we can figure out how I can fill, like, because there's other, like, he has, is it just him? Does he have like a person he cuts to like ask for to pull up?
I'm sure he has some cuck,
some
to,
person
to
named
do the charts.
Yeah, right. So like, I think maybe giving you someone in world to yell at might be like helpful.
Chart cuck. Who does Joe Rogan yell at? Jamie?
Austin? Jamie.
I think it's
Jamie.
It's Jamie. It's Jamie. We need to maybe have him yell at Jamie.
Yeah. And I need to maybe do my research so I can play that part for you a little better.
Can you do a good Joe Rogan?
I couldn't off the top of my head. I would need to listen. I really don't listen much. I would have to play a little bit.
He kind of does just talk like a dude from California.
Yeah, it's not the most distinct accent in the world, so that would make it difficult.
It's more or less an LA voice.
Yeah.
I feel like I could do RFK. This is recognizable, but...
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's decent.
You sound like Krusty the Clown. I don't want to get hit by a car. I'm really worried that this is how I'm going to go out.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man. I mean, take the extra time, take the routes. When it makes sense, hop up on the sidewalk. Like, hop up on the sidewalk. Yeah, stay safe out there. It's scary for sure. I mean, doing it every single day. I'm lucky enough that, you know, to bike. I'm not forced by work to bike somewhere that it's dangerous for me to bike to, like more dangerous than like a ride that I would take for pleasure, right? Because I know you bike a lot for pleasure, and when you bike those routes, like, you know the routes, you go down, you know, you go ways that you like know are the best ways to go. You at least are able to like predict the difficult spots, and you know, you can even walk your bike for a block if you absolutely need to, right? But when you're commuting, it's different because you have to get there to fucking make your nut, like, and like pay rent and cover everything. So
Gooner's never nut. First of all, Gooner's never nut. But yes.
No, but they still have to get their nut. All
is that money?
Yeah. Yeah, like an ache, like a squirrel, you know, like harvesting acorns. It has to make sure that it has enough nut for the winter so that when it can't get any more nuts, it can get through it. The way that I think about this is every month I have to collect enough acorns
for the winter, baby girl.
Not in my mimosa. No.
Man, white women, am I right? No, white women love cum. That's, people think that's a joke, but that's true. That's just true.
I don't know. I don't know. That feels somehow outside of the scope of this podcast. To know that and investigate that.
That's what podcasting is you just say whatever you want.
This I can attest to.
And no one cares. No one cares.
Well, no one cares if no one listens.
No one listens. And here's the thing. They may listen one day. And then when they care, we'll be like, we made that a million years ago. I don't even know what that means.
I have no recollection. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
White women are busted. Get yourself a Latina. Everybody knows you should get yourself a Mexican.
It's true. That's true. That's also not a joke. White women are busted. Get yourself a Mexican.
Jesus Christ.
That's the podcast. That's the whole podcast. Thanks for coming, guys. Lunar Army, stay strong. Be free. Don't let the fucking fascist pig government get you down. We will take back the streets in the dead of night. We will overcome. We will never come. We're the Gooner Army.
Women are an oppressed group.
And we stand you, and we welcome you to the Gunnar army. You are welcome here. This is not a weird, this is not like a safe haven for weirdos. It's just the Gunnar army. We simp, we stan, we're here for you. We're here for you. Girl boss, gatekeep, gaslight.
We simp, we stan, we salute.
Comedy podcast, get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, a certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!